If you have your copy of scripture, I'm going to encourage you to join me in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get after it this morning. And we'll make sense of all these boxes that clearly are making me uncomfortable because I keep walking away from them. So, hey, let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. God, thank you for the privilege that we get to be able to be reminded of who you are. And I pray that we would be able to come to a place where we're able to be honest and be able to lay the things that are in the way of us and you. That we would be able to be honest with ourselves in the ways that we're still trying to fight and earn peace on our own, but that we would be able to lay all that down and to be able to receive you as our King, but also be able to receive the peace that only you can bring. And so, God, I need you to speak to hearts. I pray that you would take the words of my mouth and that you would apply them to each of our hearts and our lives in the way that only you see fit. I pray that you would be with me as even I wrestle with fear and anxiety and worry and insecurity, even as I stand here before the family. I pray that all of that I'd be able to lay down and be able to walk in the peace that you offer. So we thank you that you are our conquering King. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be starting in Mark chapter 4, but let's talk about why do we have all these gifts in front of us. And so as a church family leading up to the Christmas Eve service, what we're striving to do is we are looking at all of the various ways that Christ is offering us something which would be a way better way of living than the way that we settle or the way that this world presents. Phew. Man, sometimes we just gotta let it out, girl. That's good. All right. But all throughout Scripture, Jesus has these encounters with people in which they are carrying various burdens or weights. And Jesus offers them, hey, if you'll lay those things down, then you can embrace and receive this, which I'm offering you. And so last week, we looked at the woman who was caught in adultery, and Jesus was speaking, and this woman was brought in front of Jesus, and the religious leaders are like, what are we to do with this woman? She deserves death. What do you say? And so this woman is carrying with her all these things that we looked at last week, right? We looked at sin. So she's carrying sin, she's carrying guilt and regret, she's carrying addiction, and she's carrying shame. She has all of these things, and she can't pretend that they're not there because she is exposed before the Son of God, and they are all out in the open. And so she had a response. Is she going to lay all those things aside to be able to receive the gift that Christ was offering her, which last week we looked at the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. We have to lay all these things down in order to fully receive forgiveness. Because if we are still trying to carry our sin, guilt, regret, addiction, and shame, then we can't embrace forgiveness to make it who we are. This week, the gift that Christ is offering us is peace. Peace. Right? And so the various things, which there is a million and a half of these, but we're just trying to give you guys some illustrations. The things, the words that we're going to be focusing in on that we hold instead of Christ's peace are insecurity, worry, anxiety, distress, and fear. Right? So we carry these things with us. And when we carry these things, it is really hard for us to experience and embrace peace, is it not? Right? So let's walk through it. Right? So insecurity, right? So if you're carrying this gift of insecurity with you, you're going to always think that you're not good enough. You're going to always think that you're not the man or the woman for the job, that there's somebody better out there for you. You're going to always be comparing what you do to this other that you may never be able to compare with. So you're carrying with you insecurity, right? Okay. So then that's not alone though. Oh man, it's kind of hard to, okay. Worry, anxiety. I don't know that I really need to beat this drum too much, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. All right. So worry. What do we do with worry? Man, we are constantly fixated and focused on situations that maybe aren't even real yet. There are these potential things out there that may come. Anxiety is attached to worry because it's all these things that they're all the potential things that could go wrong. And when we allow these things to run rampant in our minds, what do? They pause us in our tracks. They keep us where we are because we're just concerned. We're never going to take a step out. So we've got insecurity, we've got worry, we've got anxiety. What else do we got here? Distress, right? I said a joke last service and they didn't get it, so I won't do it this time. It got more laughter right there than I did the whole service, so thank you. You guys can interact with me. It's legal here, okay? It's fine. Leave your religiosity aside. It's cool. That's a box. Yo, Chris, add that. Where's Chris? Add that for this week. Religiosity. Okay, we'll think about that one. All right, but anyway, distress. Right? You good? What's up, bud? You giving me stuff too? All right, distress, right? Man, no matter what's going on, we're going to always come face to face with the reality that life does not go the way that we hope it would. Right? Okay, so our bodies are broken. You can't control other people. Other people do things that cause chaos. Right? No matter how much you take care of yourself, there's this lingering potential disease that may just come, right? There's no matter what, you can't outrun death. You just can't, right? Where heartache is all around. Job loss is a very real thing. You might just wake up one day and then the next day you don't got a job. Distress, worry, function, all this stuff. Man, this is really hard to carry, right? Okay, then we... Oh, thank you. I think I need something else to carry, Adam. All right. Fear. Fear on top of all of that. Right? So what do we fear? We fear that we're going to fail. We fear that we're going to lose what we've been working so hard to be able to earn. We're going to lose the ones that we loved. We're going to fear that we're going to screw something up. And so we couple all that around. Are we even human? I mean, I'm just putting myself on blast. This is where we exist a whole lot, is it not? And so what we're trying to do is to be able to use all this illustration that, guess what? Adam, you don't need to help me out here because I'm not doing it. No, you don't need to help me out. It's good. You stay right there. You stay right there. Because listen, the reality is, as awkward as this is, guess what? Add all four of those on top of this, and that's actually how we exist. We're carrying fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, distress, insecurity, sin, regret, addiction, shame. We're carrying all of these things all the time. And what we're trying to get after as a church family is that is not what Christ's desire is for us. Number one, that's not Christ's desire for his creation. But then more importantly, that's not his desire for his people. Right? And so that's why we're going after all these encounters in which Jesus says, yo, you need to learn to lay those things aside. We need to lay these aside so we can actually receive forgiveness, that Christ actually does forgive. Then we need to lay all these things aside that we're just talking about this week, and we need to believe that in the middle of the chaos of our lives, that Jesus shows up and he offers us peace. Now notice what I said. I didn't say that he takes away all the bad circumstances. I didn't say that you just shake a magic eight ball and you got millions. I didn't say that now all of a sudden you pray this prayer and you've got no diseases for the rest of your life. Okay? But what the Bible presents is that the person of Jesus meets you in your chaos. And so you, which is all of us, which is me, You don't have to exist the way you're existing. The offer from Jesus is to lay it all aside and to be able to come to the person of Jesus and to be able to receive peace, to receive peace. And so I've got one idea for you, and we'll explain it as we're working through scripture together. So if you remember one sentence, you can remember this for this week, that peace with God unlocks the peace of God in our lives. Right? So peace with God unlocks the peace of God in our lives. Right? So you can't have the peace of God without peace with God. If you're not at peace, if you don't have relationship with God, then don't be asking for peace in the middle of the chaos you created. The person of Jesus shows up when we embrace him as Savior. He shows up, we get peace with God, and then the promise is that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. So that's where we're going. But before we get there, we're going to journey through, we're going to start in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. And I want us to be able to see a really interesting interaction with Jesus on a boat, and then a really interesting interaction with Jesus with a man who has an unclean spirit, right? Before we do, I've got one more thing to do. All throughout this series, right, we are all making a response. Okay, so you're not scotch free. Okay. So to God's offer of peace and forgiveness, you are making a decision. You're making a response to it. And so we've boiled it down. We've got one of three options. Okay. You're either number one, you're either just going to acknowledge the gift. You're just going to acknowledge, yeah, Jesus forgives, Jesus offers peace, and you're going to walk away unchanged. Okay. Just acknowledge it. Mentally know about it. You're like, okay, yeah, I can see that. That's good. The second option is you just add it to one more thing. And what's the danger of this? I couldn't even carry those things and they're empty. But if you just add this to one more thing, is peace something I'm living in light of, or is it just another thing in my pile? Is forgiveness really a thing that I'm living in light of, or is this just another thing in my pile? And what Christ is not trying to just be another thing. Man, Jesus Christ is the thing. Okay? And so, are you just going to acknowledge it? Are you going to just add him to another thing into your list of carry? Or this is where our heart is for every single one of you. That you would exchange that which you are carrying and embrace Jesus as King. Would you believe that what Jesus is offering you is actually available to you? And that's our heart. And so as we roll through this narrative in Mark 4 and 5, I want you to be able to see all three of those responses are illustrated for us. And so which one will you be? Which one will you be? So starting in Mark chapter 4, the peace of God. What's going on here before I read in verse 35? What's going on is Jesus is in the midst of his ministry. He's got his disciples and they're rolling. Okay. They decided to get in a boat and go to another section. Okay. So they're on a boat in the middle of a stormy sea. Does that sound familiar? Oh, okay. There we go. Jonah. Okay. Right. So it's going to sound a little bit like Jonah right here. All right. Verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Is it Jonah? Are you guys hearing it yet? Yeah, it sounds like Jonah. Okay. And they woke him and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what did he say? Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Right? Okay. So, do you see the disciples with this whole stack over here? Fear, distress, worry, anxiety, right? And they're like, yo, Jesus, what are you going to do? And he's like, you guys don't get it. And so he speaks the word peace, and what happens? Calm. In the middle of the chaos, Jesus shows his authority to calm the storm with a word. Right? Okay, let's keep going in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 says this. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. All right, so pause real quick. What do you notice? We notice a man, right? And what is this telling us about this man? This dude is distressed. He is possessed by demons. Okay, so listen, don't just read the Bible. Feel it. Think about it. What does that mean? Man, humanize this. Imagine the weight of this man not being able to control himself because these demons are controlling him. So imagine the fear. I mean, obviously he was acting in such a way that the people of the town were like, we need to put that dude in chains because no one can control him. But he's not fully the one in control of what's going on. So can you imagine the fear that's inside of him? Could you imagine the distress? I don't know that there's any other level of stress than what we're going to read in a little bit, that there was at least 2,000 demons inside of this man. Okay? Fear, distress, right? Worry, anxiety, insecurity. Could you imagine the insecurity? Could you imagine the anxiety that if he's in his right mind one moment and then flips and now he can't go anywhere else, so he's screaming, he's self-harming, he's out there. This dude needs help, right? Right? All right, let's keep reading. Verse 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs and let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out, and they entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000. They rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Right. Okay, so poor pigs, okay, but they're not the focal point of the story, right? But notice, what's going on here? This is what I want us to be able to get at, and this is our first response to Jesus. What do you notice? The demons inside of this man, right? So do demons submit to Jesus? Okay, that's a loaded question. I realize how you could be. Okay, they submit to his authority, but do they live in light of his authority? No, they're rebellious against him. They know who Jesus is, right? What do they say? They're the first people in this region that know who Jesus actually is. They call him. They say, yo, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They know. What's the first response? They're acknowledging who God is. Okay, so this is the scary part. This is why we're keeping going back to this every single week, is that you're making a response about who God is. And so if you're just acknowledging him, then man, you're in company with these demons. That's scary, right? I had a conversation with somebody in between services, and he heard a quote this week, said, isn't it interesting that the demon-possessed man knew exactly who Jesus was, but the people who were possessed with the Bible didn't know who Jesus was? That's scary, right? And so, man, they acknowledge who God is, and they say, yo, just don't ruin our fun completely, Jesus. Let us have a little bit more fun. That's what they're saying. And so Jesus gives them permission. Okay, you can leave. And doesn't make a big deal, because Jesus is not, he doesn't necessarily care about them. What does he care about? He cares about this man that has been oppressed and possessed by these demons. And so they run, they flee. They acknowledge who God is, but yet they turn around and they live like nothing changed, right? So now let's keep reading. Verse 14, right? Poor piggies and poor herdsmen, right? Just acknowledge it. That's a bad day. For real, it's a bad day, right? Verse 14. The herdsmen fled, and they told it to the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Whew. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. So pause. So you can feel, okay, so feel it again. That'd be some stress, right? I mean, 2,000 pigs, that's a really bad day for the herdsmen. Okay, that's a lot of money, right? But think about, what did they do? They saw who Jesus was. They saw what he had the ability to do. And yet they respond like so many people do. You know what? If I'm going to listen to you, Jesus, that's going to change my life a whole lot. I'm not really sure that I'm cool with all that. If I'm, Jesus, you're going to ask me that? Dude, I don't know. You know, you just keep on moving. Go to somebody who really needs you. Now, I'm using strong language and imagery, but isn't that how we actually respond? We take lightly what Jesus is asking us to do, and we're like, nah, somebody else needs it. Why don't you just go? Or just straight up, yo, Jesus, I'm not changing the way I live. Right? And then this poor man. This poor man. So we see the demons acknowledged who Jesus was. We see all the people came out, and they're like, yo, I don't know about this. I don't think I really want Jesus. Then what is this man? Verse 18. As he was talking about Jesus, was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Okay, so then the third response, man, How did this man respond to Jesus? He didn't do anything to be able to earn this, but Jesus walked into his life and took all of that in an instant. I mean, radical transformation. And then what was his response? His response was like, Jesus, I just need to be with you. Man, let me come with you. Wherever you go, let me be there with you. Let me go. Man, that's the embrace of Jesus, right? That's the embrace of our Lord and Savior that we want all of us to be able to have. And he's like, man, I don't want to go to the old way of life. I'm so thankful for what you've done for me, God. Help me to just stay right there with you. And Jesus, not because he doesn't approve of this man, but he realizes that this man needs to just stay exactly where he is. And the Decapolis is a section of 10 different towns in that region. And Jesus says, now what I want you to do, because everybody knows your story, everybody knows all your junk, everybody knows all your fear, all your worry, your anxiety, I want you to go and tell what God has done. What do you think happened? Do you think, you don't have to think, what does it say? And everyone marveled. And so because of that man's healing, that man's laying aside all this stuff and embracing of Jesus, he's being used of God to be able to help other people know and be welcomed into the kingdom of God themselves, right? So two things before we continue on. First thing is, what do we see from this? That Christ sees your chaos. Christ sees your chaos. Whatever it is that you're walking through, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever combination or how big these gifts are in your life, Christ sees it. Right? He didn't have to stop and pay any attention to this man. How busy was Jesus? Right? But he stopped. He had this interaction. Why? Because he saw the hurt in this man's life. He's like, man, this guy needs to be free. So he sees it. And then what does he do? Second thing, Christ enters into the chaos to be with you. He didn't just send the guy away without being changed, but Christ enters in. That man entered into a relationship with Jesus. And so now he's not going alone anymore. But the Spirit of God, Christ himself, is walking with that man for the rest of his life. And so the main idea is that peace with God unlocks the peace of God in our lives. And so what do I mean by that? In order to experience the peace of God, we need to experience peace with him. You need to have a good relationship. You need to be at peace with your Maker before you can experience the peace of God. Right? We seek all the time situational and circumstantial peace. Right? So we're feeling stress, anxiety, fear, insecurity. And what is our natural desire? We need to feel relief from all of that because that is overwhelming. And so then we try to fix it. Right? And guess what? If you're new to the Bible, or if this is just something new you're considering, man, read the book of Ecclesiastes and see if there's anything in this world that could be able to help give you peace. I'll summarize it for you. It kind of sounds a little depressing if you read it, but read it. It's good. It's good nourishment. It says vanity. Everything is vanity. Meaningless. Meaningless. Man, you can't make enough money to be able to make you stop being fearful of something because you'll find some other level of fear. You can't buy your way out of the fact that you're going to die. There's like these weird people that are trying to live forever. They've got tons of money. Well, guess what? It's not working. They're going to die. I promise. Okay, if you're watching, nothing against you. I'm not going to do it, all right? I'm just saying, you're not going to outrun death. It's coming. Right? If you're trying to get financial security, something else is going to pop up and it's going to set you back. If you're trying to pursue different relationships, man, people can't fix you. People can't fix you. We're all carrying with us chaos and junk and disorder And when we bring that together, if we're not yielded to Christ, then what's going to happen? Tick, tick, boom. It's messy. You can't get peace there. If you're just trying to find relief from sex, man, it's just going to be a deep, dark hole. You're never going to be able to find relief from it. If you're going to try to find it from a substance, you're just going to find yourself addicted. Right? And so what do we do to be able to experience peace? So we can't just get this thing. We can't just experience this temporarily. Jesus in John chapter 14, he's sitting down and he's having this conversation with his disciples before he's about to be murdered. And he's trying to tell them, hey, I'm about to go to heaven. And so guess what? They were stressed. They were fearful. They were anxious because they only knew life with Jesus. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He goes on to say, I'm going to send the helper. Who's the helper? Holy Spirit. And then he says, the peace that I'm going to give you in verse 27, the peace that I give you is not going to be from this world. Meaning, it's going to be better. You can't obtain it. The peace that you're looking for, you're striving for to try to bring relief from all this garbage, you can't find it here. So how do we find it? We need to experience peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. And so praise be to God that we don't have to figure this out on our own, right? What does Romans chapter 5 say? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace, what? With God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Right, so what is this saying? Man, and if we are truly trying to embrace peace, that's what's on offer. Peace is on offer. Well, you need to be at peace with God first. You've got this hole inside your life that you're trying to cram and fix and put everything else in, and it's all going to leave you empty, broken, needing more. But what did Romans just tell us? Man, because of relationship with Jesus, because of what he has done for us on the cross, when you receive him by faith, when you accept Jesus to be who he says he is, which is Lord, when you trust him for the forgiveness of your sin, what happens? We don't understand it in our human ways, but what happens is we're at peace with God. Even though we deserved condemnation and judgment, we deserve the full wrath, we're at peace, calm, harmony. The relationship isn't like, oh, is Finley mad at me? I don't know. I don't have to worry about that. Right? It's at peace. The Bible tells us that we are at peace with him. Right? So this is part of that. Man, you got to lay it down and trust what God is saying instead of what you are feeling. So you put your relationship in Christ. You are at peace with God. And that's the pathway. You get right relationship with God. Then you can experience peace in the midst. And so one more spot, man. Go to Philippians chapter 4. As we land the plane, Philippians chapter 4, just verses 6 and 7. So we get peace with God first, right? What do we say all the time? What's the most important thing about you? Your relationship with God. The most important thing about you, every single one of you, the most important thing about you is your relationship with God. It's the only thing that matters at the end of the day. And so when you have that right relationship with him, then you can experience the peace from him. What does Philippians 4 say? Don't worry about anything. Okay, so what's all this? These boxes over here? What is that? Boil it all down. It's basically worry, right? Fear, insecurity, anxiety, doubt, distress. I added doubt. That's all good. Right? Don't worry about it. Don't allow any of these things to bog you down. Right? What does it say? Don't worry about anything. Instead, what does it say? Pray about everything. So that's what this relationship, being right with God, is. It's this invitation that God doesn't want you to be bogged down. He doesn't want you to carry around all these boxes. But he's saying, man, any of these things pop their ugly, stupid, sucker faces up, you cast it before God and you say, God, I'm worried about this. I'm feeling this. And what does it say? Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then what does it say? Then you will experience what? God's peace. What does it say? Which exceeds anything we can understand. Or the ESV says, which surpasses all understanding. And what's the promise? The promise is that his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what does this all mean? All this means is that, man, we so want you to be able to be right with God. And this world is so draining. We do carry all these things all the time. And the invitation from Scripture is, man, lay those things aside and come to Jesus. Submit yourself and say, Jesus, would you save me? And when we cry out and say, Jesus, will you save me? What begins to happen is that begins a relationship with him that starts the ability for us to begin to commune, to pray to God. And he says, hey, I don't want you carrying these things. Turn them over to me. Cast them onto me. 1 Peter chapter 5 somewhere. You got to read. I told the first service, you got to read the whole thing because I'm not exactly sure where it is. Peter says, man, cast all your burdens on me. Throw them off. Don't just be like, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, nervous about this. I keep sinning a little bit. This guilt keeps, I mean, he's saying, man, I don't want to feel that guilt anymore. I don't want to feel this regret anymore. Throw it away. And the promise is why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And as we do that, the promise is that we can experience the peace of God in our situation. And so the promise isn't that God makes everything all right. But the promise is that you are not alone in your situation, and that in a way that only makes sense in the spiritual, the promise from God is that God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds in the midst of all that's going on. And so, what do you do? How are you going to respond to Christ's offer for peace? It's here. It's available for every single one of us. Are we going to live in light of our own strength, or are we going to come to him? And so we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing. We're going to declare who Jesus is through our words of praise. And so if you need to just stand and sing, then you stand and sing. But if you're here today and you've been trying to work and to figure things out, you're trying to calm all the storms in your own strength and in your own ability, guess what? You can't do it. The invitation for you is to, man, come. Embrace Christ. Embrace him as Savior. Get right with God. And then if you're here today and you already do have that relationship with him, but man, these things have just been weighing you down, fear, worry, insecurity, anxiety, you've just been carrying it. Man, my invitation to you is to, man, throw those things to the feet of the Father. Don't carry them anymore. The promise is peace. So how will you respond? Are you just going to acknowledge him and walk away unchanged? Are you just going to add it to another thing that you're going to try to carry? Or are you going to exchange all your junk to embrace the Savior? And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to embrace you as King. God, I pray that you would destroy any kind of spirit of arrogance that might be rising within us that is fighting and is just urging us not to be able to respond. I pray that you would destroy that by the power of the blood of Jesus. I pray where there is sin that needs to be repented of, Father, I pray that we would lay that down to be able to receive you as King. I pray that where we're wrestling with fear and insecurity and anxiety, God, we just don't know how we're going to make it through this week. God, I don't know how the relational chaos is going to be calmed. Father, I pray that we would stop trying to fix things and that we would submit ourselves to you. And Spirit, we're claiming your promise that you are going to meet us in the middle of our chaos and guard our hearts with your peace. So God, do what you need to do in each of our hearts. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.